Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk episode number 20. We have hit a nice round
20.
Number. Yeah. We have made it 20 episodes, and we're still being listened to. Unbelievable.
Mostly by my mom, which is also your mom.
Yes. Our mom is the biggest fan.
But hey.
Hey, you need to start somewhere, right?
You take it where you can get it. Number 20.
That's right.
That's a big number. I didn't realize we were this far into it. This is also, is it 2 years since DecentChristianTalk.com has come out?
That's right. We just had that anniversary.
2 years.
Last week. 2 years.
The same day that Supernatural hit 18, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, was it 18 years ago that Supernatural came out?
Yeah, it was 1998. So we started doing this on the 16th anniversary of Supernatural. And because we, of course, were such big DC Talk fans.
Yes, it is true.
So yeah, we started out with the website, and we did some blog entries. For those of you who don't know, we started out on DecentChristianTalk.com, and we're still there. But we mostly did, like journalistic pieces.
Like articles. Articles and some in-depth looks into some DC Talk songs.
Yeah, and we did a lot of interviews in transcribed form. But, you know, we kind of decided, you know what? More people are likely to listen to interviews. So we branched out and just, we're doing the podcast for now. And, I mean, we've had a great response. You know, obviously there's some transitions and everything. But, you know, especially with the last podcast we did with Hillsong United, we had a great response. And hopefully you guys have stuck around and are definitely interested in checking out this week's episode with an interview, exclusive interview, with Hillsong United's Taya Smith. So we'll be getting to that a little bit later, but thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah, and thank you for listening or subscribing or giving us a like or a good review, which we all are excellent things that we enjoy.
Yeah, guys, if you don't know, you can check us out on DecentChristianTalk.com. We're also on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud, we're on YouTube. But if you absolutely need to find us, a good link to find us at is just go to our homepage at DecentChristianTalk.com. And that's where you can find everything. You can find our Twitter page, you can find our Facebook, you can find just about everything. But anyway, we talked a little bit.
Enough about us.
Yes, we talked a little bit on the last episode about the Hillsong film that was about to release. And now that it has released, we're going to talk a little bit more about it before we dip into some other things. And before we dip into the interview with Taya Smith. So, Brendan and I talked about it last time. And first of all, for those of you that don't know, my brother Josiah is joining us this week. Josiah, you have yet to tell us what thoughts on it. Yes. But go ahead and tell us your thoughts on it.
Okay, well, I came over, how many weeks ago? Was it like 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I watched it at your house, and I was watching it on your laptop. You fell asleep on the couch next to me because you're pretty old. But I was really surprised because I'm more into like heavier metal, like hard rock. That's kind of my, like, Norma Jean just came out with a new album and I'm all about it right now. You should look into it. It's called Polar Similar. But as far as Hillsong goes, I know just a little bit about the band, not very much. But when I watched that, movie, it like, it took me like inside of their ministry, and it's, that's how I would describe it. It's not a band. It is a worship band, but that is a ministry that is like sweeping the world. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It was such a cool feeling to see how they were going about and how serious they took their job. Some people, like, you know, they're like, oh, I want to sound good, or I want to look good. I want people to know my name. They mentioned in there multiple times. They're like, nobody knows our name. They're like, oh, are you the Hillsong guitar player? Or like, oh, look, it's Ocean's girl. Like, they don't know her real name, but they just know she sings Ocean's, which she's incredible at, by the way. They played a clip of that in the movie, which I think they played the full song in the movie, if I'm not mistaken. They played clips of other songs, but they played that full song all the way through. And that one, it was very good. But it was just really cool to see these people give everything they had to this ministry. Like, they're not living in mansions. They're not rich. They're just doing something they love because God called them to do it.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit before. We've not played the interview with the band the interview that we did with this band yet, but we talked about this with Seventh Day Slumber, about how, you know, bands will say that they are a ministry, but I think you and I know, and a lot of other people know, that there's a business side to music that is inevitable, that you have to, I mean, you have to be smart. But still,
and there's a lot of good musicians that can go out there and they're like very talented musicians, but the business side of music can just suck the life out of them. And I've seen multiple bands that are really talented just get taken down by the weight of something that they didn't expect. They thought they were just going out on tour and having fun, but they also got to live their lives.
Yeah, it can make you cynical really fast. But like I said, there's a lot of bands that say that they're a ministry, but they're not really a ministry. Hillsong is a ministry. They've always been that. I know people might roll their eyes at the fact that they are, consider themselves a ministry, but it is. I mean, they write songs for the church. They write songs that minister to people, and they don't profit off of that. Honestly, like, they probably, I mean, they have every right to, and they don't. So, you know, that's just my thoughts on it. There's a lot of reviews that came out. Go ahead.
Oh, it seemed like it was like a revival kind of atmosphere. Like, you always read these stories where there's people, like, there's this massive revival that just, it will sweep a city or a nation, and all these people are, like, coming to Jesus. And that is the atmosphere. And they capture the atmosphere of the concert very well in the movie. But that's just the atmosphere that you can feel at that concert. It's completely a revival.
Yeah. And I think that that's reflected on the hearts of the band, really, honestly. So there was a lot of reviews for this movie. A lot of them were good. There were a couple of them that were not so good. I think there's some people that write for certain publications that feel compelled to rip it just because they think if they praise it, they'll lose the whatever street cred, I guess, that they might have. Because I read some reviews that just did not make any sense at all to me. There was one I think I sent to you from the AV Club where the writer said that the transitions were too complicated to follow, and I was like, I mean, these were the simplest transitions that you could possibly make in a documentary. And if you're if you think that's complicated, you should try watching a movie like Pulp Fiction or something. I mean, I just,
oh gosh, I hated Pulp Fiction. I did.
It's a great movie.
I hated Pulp Fiction, and I could follow Pulp Fiction kind of, but I could definitely follow this movie. I think that it's just one of those things where if Hillsong is something that you are interested in, this is one of the best, like, this documentary was so well done. But if it's something that you have absolutely no interest in at all, then maybe it's not for you. But I think, like I said, I'm not like the biggest Hillsong fan, but it really captured me. It like sucked me in, because it was close to 2 hours long, which when I sat down to watch it, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to sit through this entire movie. And by the time it was over, I was like, is it really already over? I feel like that was not very long at all. It went by very fast.
Yeah, so
you know what, one thing you guys didn't mention last week, or at least, I mean, I listened, but that was a week ago. So how these people talked about their wives and how they supported, most of the people in the band that have wives are working full-time jobs to support their ministry and their family. And I thought that was the coolest thing about the movie, is just not only are the people in the band selling out completely for the ministry, but their entire families, their entire communities, their church, everyone is pouring in and helping them, because it's not something they could do on their own. But yeah, shout out to all the wives. I know Carly would like to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a group effort. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of things that go in to a product. I hate using the word product, but seeing the finished product on stage, or even hearing an album, there's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot that you don't see. And when it comes to Hillsong United, that's not even a musical thing. That's a family thing. There's a lot of family support that honestly, these people would not be able to invest the time that they have if they didn't have spouses that were not sold on that 100% and not sold out to that idea. And, you know, that's really cool to see. And really, I mean, it's inspiring, because, you know, that's really selfless for them, because, you know, they might not get to do all the cool things that their spouse might do. I'm sure they do get to do a lot of cool things, but you know what I mean? They don't get the exposure necessarily that their spouse might get, or the limelight or all that. But yeah, that was definitely a cool aspect. So, did you have any final thoughts on the documentary before we move on?
I'm sure I'll think of something later. I'll bring it up later. But as of right now, I think I would give it a high recommendation. Go see it.
Yeah, if it's still at a theater near you.
It came to theaters near us.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm Googling right now. There's some theaters around still carrying it.
So I briefly wanted to talk about, before we head into the interview, some of the other worship artists and albums that we listened to growing up, because Hillsong United was up there with, I mean, they've been around since the 90s, and they were really important to, I mean, the youth group I attended played a lot of Hillsong United, but honestly, for me, as good as Hillsong United is, and still, you know, was and still is, for me, what really got me hooked onto worship, and really it's never gotten, musically has never gotten to be as good as it these guys did it was Delirious. And Delirious for me, man alive, I mean, these guys could play and write anything, and they chose to do worship music, and they did it at the highest level, and man alive, were they good live. Oh man, so good.
They were so good. People don't, like, if I mention Delirious, like, today, people are like, I've never heard of Delirious. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. First off, I feel old. And then second, I start naming songs like I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's Delirious? And I'm like, yeah, you know Delirious. And I name off all these songs, and they're just like, I love that band. How come I've never heard of Delirious? I'm like, well,
yeah,
obviously, you don't listen to this podcast because we talk about them all the time.
Yeah, I mean, even Justin Bieber has been singing that song on his latest tour, which is cool to me that that band has had that kind of legacy.
Yeah, it's very cool to see. It's cool to see that in pop culture. I know I've heard Selena Gomez sing a couple songs with Hillsong United.
Yeah.
Which is very cool to me.
Yeah.
Someone else that it always stuck in my mind growing up was Rich Mullins. Yeah. He was masterful. And I know my mom and dad loved Rich Mullins, and they listen to him all the time. And when I think of worship music, Rich Mullins is the very first guy that comes to mind for me.
Yeah,
and then probably Michael W. Smith right after that.
Yeah, 19 years ago, we just had an anniversary of Rich Mullins passing a week or so ago. He's been gone for 19 years. It's hard to believe. You know, when I was growing up, my parents always threw the name Keith Green around, and I've listened to a lot of his music, and it's really good, and I never quite connected to him the way that I have Rich Mullins. I understand now how they talk about Keith Green the way that they do, because Rich Mullins does the same thing with me, the way he writes songs and the way he really just put all his heart into it. And you know, I selfishly wonder what he would be doing if he were still around today. I mean, I know he would be getting up there in age, but I just wonder what his perspective would be on the world that is around him today, for sure.
I think another thing that influenced worship music for me is bands like Skillet and Disciple, and some of the harder bands that I listen to. And then I know Skillet and Disciple both, they always take out time in their concert to sing a worship song. It's like, without a doubt, I've seen them both live probably combined 20 times. People like Seventh Day Slumber as well. You go to their concert and they'll melt your face off, but then they'll lead you in worship. And that, I think that influenced me a lot when I was growing up, because, like I said, I've always been like a rock kind of guy, but I think they made me appreciate worship a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Demon Hunter lead worship, honestly, and I mean, they are
incredible at it too.
Yeah, and like, even this year at Creation, I went to the metal stage quite a few times, and I mean, they definitely have a different style, but the way that they lead worship is so honest and so just in your face, like honest. Like, what's going on in their lives. Just brutally honest lyrics. And it's really something. Like, a good example of that is a band called For Today. And, I mean, their lyrics are, I mean, honestly, you could put Hillsong music to some of their lyrics. And, I mean, that's
what. Oh, yeah, that's true. If you go to a For Today concert, you're not going to leave without getting a full sermon from their lead singer, which in case you were wondering, they are going on their farewell tour with Norma Jean. Mm. So if you want to see Four Today live, you got to do that pretty soon. I know they're coming to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I think in December. And Nathaniel and I are looking at that, and we want to be there, of course. But Four Today is one of the bands that Nathaniel was on me for a long time, and he's like, you gotta listen to this band. I was like, okay. And then finally we went to a Four Today concert, and they're one of those bands that I saw them live, and I was just like, why didn't I know about this band before? Of course Nathaniel was like, I've told you like for months. And I was just like, yeah, I know, but you're wrong most of the time. But they're so good. So go look up the Four Today tour. I think one of the reasons that a band, like a metal band, is a little more honest with their lyrics is because they don't feel the pressure to make their lyrics like for church. It is just completely for worship. And that's one of the things that they talked about in Hillsong was I forget his name, and it's funny because they talk about how no one remembers their names. But you and Brendan touched on how he wrote that song. They didn't have it written all the way up until right before the concert. Right. But the reason he didn't have it written yet is because it was so important to him to have the right lyrics on the page before they were sung. And he didn't want lyrics because they rhymed, and he didn't want lyrics because they sounded good and they could be sung easily in church. He wanted the right lyrics that could lead someone to God in worship, whether he's singing them or some person at a church is singing them or someone's humming them on a subway somewhere. But I just thought that was really cool too. I told you I'd come back to that movie. Just how he poured himself into those lyrics. They were so important to him, and I think that's a big reason why their lyrics speak so well to people, is because they take that so seriously.
Yeah, and that's a good segue, because our interview this week is with Hillsong United's Taya Smith. She is the Oceans Girl, as Josiah said very nicely, and as I said at last podcast. But this is an exclusive interview. It's one-on-one that we did. Brendan did it while he was at the Hillsong Conference in New York City. So definitely check that out. So without further ado, here is our interview with Hillsong United's Taya Smith.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
I've asked you a lot of what I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. but they offered me the opportunity, so I'm taking it. We were talking earlier about some things that influenced you as a. What were some of the major musical influences on your life growing up? Obviously, I mentioned Imogen Heap earlier, but.
It's kind of weird. People would always say, like, so who's your. Not necessarily like your idol, but just those people that had crazy influences on your life. And to be honest, it's going to sound so funny, but I grew up in a Christian home, and my mom was definitely like, we weren't allowed to put posters on the wall. We weren't allowed to like, I love this like bit, like, and we definitely weren't allowed to have like idols or anything. And it's going to sound so like Christian-y and everything, but like, I loved music. I would love to put on the radio and like, listen to like the top 40 hits. I would love listening to, like orchestras, and I think as well, like my dad really loves music as well, and he would just expose us when we were growing up to so many different types of genres of music, I guess you could say. And like, for example, they didn't have a lot of opportunities when they were younger with music, so then my parents at a young age put us into, me and my sisters, into piano lessons, and then, which is crazy that he said, he's like, if you keep this up, you get to play another instrument. Which when you think back, you're like, oh, wait, you're just putting more work. So, but as a child, I fell for it and started playing cello when I was heading into high school. And so I feel like I've been blessed to be exposed to a lot of different musical influences. I wouldn't say that I have like a particular person that like kind of changed everything. I feel like I actually love the voice as an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm always drawn to people that have an interesting tone and even a soulful voice. I do feel like I somehow resonate with that, even though like I grew up in probably the whitest family ever and probably wasn't exposed to like gospel music, if I'm being truly honest. And but I feel like, yeah, I definitely take inspiration from all different areas, and there'll be people that like, for example, I mean, just pretend like we're not talking about content, but like vocal quality, like Beyonce mm-hmm. has the most ridiculous voice ever
yeah.
and so commanding and yes, such power, but then she can pull it back. And then I also like love Tori Kelly's voice because it's so flexible, and I feel like she can do the craziest like melismas, like singing multiple notes on one syllable, and just like what they can do with their voices, I find that so encouraging. And there'll be times where I'll listen to something and I go, that's so cool, knowing full well that when I get home, like I'm gonna be in the shower and I'm gonna try and do that thing and go, see if I can do that.
Yeah, you do some interesting vocal bends when you're hitting that are very complicated. How did you, were you trained in that, or did you just figure out, hey, I can do this thing? Or,
well, so the crazy thing is I actually didn't start getting vocal lessons till probably like 2 years ago, because I was like, I guess when you're using your voice in a bigger capacity than you have ever before, I feel like you need to learn. Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably should have had, if I'm gonna give advice to young people and like young worship leaders, like don't just say you're a worship leader. Like if you're a worship leader, your voice is your weapon and that's your instrument. And I feel like you should really take the steps to learn about your voice, mm-hmm. learn the good things about your voice. There's always things we can get better at as well. Like we're not going to be perfect, but I believe we should bring like a spirit of excellence into church. Cause I always like think about, you know, say the show with like Jay-Z or any like Katy Perry, like they have like amazing lighting technicians, and they have like an amazing sound system, and they have amazing vocals and backing vocals. Like, why can't we have that in church? And
mm-hmm.
I love that. I'm definitely challenged with that. So at the moment, like I have a singing teacher, and something that I would love to, like, once we get through a couple of the basics, like we're going to start to go into like learning how to do whistle tones, which is like the crazy high things that, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to, like, you know, whip that out in like a free worship moment, but you never know, we could. I definitely want to just be sharpening my instrument and getting better at it. And it's something that I enjoy as well. And I feel like, I've been singing since I was a little kid. Like my mom always said, like, I think I was 3 and running around, and she's like, and since then you never shut up. So, so I feel like I enjoy my instrument. And so with like all the crazy stuff we do, like, some of the notes, if I'm being truly honest, like, when we sing Oceans Live, there is a moment in the instrumental where I end up singing like a really high note, and that actually came out of a free worship moment when we were in South Africa on the first trip away that I got to go with Unite. It was the second night in Johannesburg, and the first night, because again, I'm a rookie, like I've only been doing this for 4 years, and so on the first night they weren't going to throw me in the deep and be like, here, lead this song, and we don't even know how it's going to go because no one's heard it before, the album wasn't out yet. And so on the second night they start playing Oceans, and the crowd just started cheering, and which was kind of a weird reaction because they didn't know the song yet. And so then we just go into the instrumental, and I guess I just was worshiping and just had a free moment with God, and that note came out, and it was kind of like we finished it and we're just like, what was that? And I guess in a way, like, it'll be different every little time that we sing it, and I kind of love that because for me that's my moment with Jesus, and
mm-hmm.
if people get impacted by it, that's the best thing ever.
It's an extremely powerful moment. Like, it's almost like, I could describe it, it's like a rocket ship taking off. When you start into that, and you can just feel that building, and it's and then it explodes. And I feel like, in a lot of ways, that's a spiritual warfare weapon that you're using there, that I think it's breaking into people's hearts at that point in time. And, you know, your voice is a weapon.
Yeah. Well, I feel worship is a weapon.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And 100%. I feel like music goes into places that maybe people aren't allowed, and I feel like music is so disarming, and I believe it was created so we could just connect to the heart of God, and that's what I believe all music is created for. And I feel like with worship, it's amazing, and it's a privilege to be able to get to be a part of whatever experience people do have on a worship night. And I do hope that, you know, for whatever people need, that when they meet with Jesus, they find that, whether it's like they need strength in that moment. And so, and I feel like the Holy Spirit's very kind, and he kind of, you know, gives you a little glimpse into what you need to be doing for the night. And sometimes, like, for example, when Jad will get up there and he's singing, like, the enemy has been defeated, like, and let's, like, shout to God, like, with victory, and, like, even if you're in it, like, he's already won, and so, like, let's sing from that place. And I feel like it's amazing to, in the midst of that, believing it for ourselves, but believing it for, collectively for everyone else, like, and seeing people, I think, get it and start to just declare it. It's amazing.
What's that like? So what I mean by that, the enemy's been defeated. It's two chords. It's two chords transitioning back and forth between each other. But just, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
What is that like when you guys put something together and you're like, yeah, yeah, like that.
Well, the crazy thing is, I feel like, so they're writing these songs for them to be sung. Mm-hmm. And they're writing them for the church and to give them words and expression that maybe they don't know how to say to God. And so I feel like when we, if I can say, like, present an offering of just, like, you know, we give our lives for this, and we're so honored and humbled that we get to do this and get to do it, you know, under the branch of our church. And so we give that offering, and we'll do it with the best. I guess Joel says we try and build the best boat that we can, and then we just have to ask and pray that God will breathe on it and he'll take it wherever. So, for example, like, you don't maybe necessarily know that no other name, that amazing song is going to be the one that is, everyone's just like, this is the best thing ever. Like, so we just labor in hope that God would just have his way and breathe on it. And then it is amazing though when you do play those songs live, and then you find the songs that people are just like that's their song, and it's amazing. Yeah.
So
this is what, sorry, this last question, Brendan.
Oh, it is? Then I'm going to hand it over to my assistant.
Okay. Yes. I wanted to know, as a kid, did you ever, like, were you always intended to do this, or did you have any other plans, like, any other dream jobs?
Well, I always loved singing, and I always, just always loved singing, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I loved Jesus, and so I always, like, thought that no matter what, if I was doing, like, singing in a secular setting or Christian, like, it's all for God anyway, because he gave me the gift. So I feel like even if I was to go into secular music, in a way, it's still worship.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I wasn't singing the name of Jesus, to me, it's still worship. And I actually thought I was going to go into secular music. So when I moved to Sydney, I thought that I would actually, I was going down there to pursue that. But the crazy thing is with doing your own music, you need to have, like, a drive for it. And I was saying to someone today that, so when I moved down to Sydney for about a year, I did gigs for a friend who is, like, a pretty prominent Australian singer. I was backing him up, and so I was doing, like, the proper, like, step click, everything, like, and so I got to experience a bit of that world, like, with the recording, like, seeing my friend as a recording artist and just seeing what it would all look like. And it was so crazy, like, because then I would come home on the weekend and got the opportunity just to be one of the backing vocals. There's, like, six, so, like, just one of six people, and just getting to be a part of worship in church on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't get out of my head that I was like, this is so much easier for me. And I didn't have the drive of, like, I want to be the worship leader, I want to be the person, like, leading. Not at all. Like, I was just like, this just feels so much nicer and so much better than when I'm doing it out here. And I don't want to take away from someone if they feel like they're actually meant to go into the secular, because I believe that we should have, like, people who love Jesus in every single genre, even the crazy, like, rock stuff, like, 100%. But for me, I feel like I've been so blessed because I've been able to bring the gift that God's given me, and because I'm maybe not, like, the most normal, maybe worship leader or, like, run-of-the-mill kind of worship leader, and I feel like I've been blessed that I've been able to bring what I have and, like, maybe some singing, some weird notes and all that kind of stuff, and still be me and free in worship. But then what God has done is, like, he's given me crazy opportunities, and this is so far beyond better than whatever I could think, ask, or imagine. And it's like that scripture, and it's the craziest thing. Like, I thought that I was going to do secular music, and I thought I was going to be a recording artist. And I kind of said that to my parents just because they wanted me to go to uni. And I just knew that I wanted to sing, but I didn't know how to, like, kind of tell them that. So then I was like, I'm going to move to Sydney, and it kind of looked like I was progressing in that way. But I think for me personally, I just didn't have the drive that you needed to pursue secular music. And then I feel like God was very kind, and he just opened doors that were heading towards ministry. And I had a friend that was talking to me, I think it was probably about 2 weeks after I've recorded Oceans with the Boys. And this is before I got a job at church. This is before I didn't even know if they were going to, if those songs were even going to make it on the album. And like, I don't even think, none of us knew what Oceans was going to be or do or anything. That was God. Praise God for that. But my friend just said, hey, don't put God in a box. Because have you ever thought about ministry? And I was like, no. She's like, just don't put God in a box. Because just because it looks like this for someone else doesn't mean it has to look like that for you. And I like found heaps of encouragement in that. And so, to be honest, my parents raised me and they just said, if you just do the best job that you could do, then that's all we can ask for. So I feel like I kind of just took that into everything that I get to do. And I'm just like, I just got to do the best job that I can. And then there's nothing else more that I can do. And then God's been very kind to me. And I feel like he's directed me in the way that I should go and just open up all these crazy doors. And to the fact that I'm here in New York talking with you guys. So
that's awesome.
All right, that was our interview with Hillsong United's Taya Smith. Thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Check us out on decentchristiantalk.com. Hey, man, if you have a couple dollars to spare, check out the donate page on the decentchristiantalk.com. It's on the right-hand side of the homepage. All you need is a good PayPal account. And that will help us cover some expenses. We've got an exciting podcast coming up with Satellites and Sirens next in 2 weeks. So definitely be looking out for that. They've got a new album coming out soon called Tanks. Josiah, do you like pop music?
I like pop, like soda pop.
Well, okay, that's good. But we're going to be back with them in a couple weeks. If you haven't checked them out, they just released a new single called Tanks, which is the title track off their album. We're excited to talk to them next time.
If you're thinking maybe you don't know who Satellites and Sirens are, that's okay. Listen to it anyway, because we don't put out bad interviews. So maybe you'll find someone new. I mean, we just interviewed Hillsong United, and you listen to that, and you're like, oh my gosh, that interview was incredible. Well, guess what? All our interviews are incredible. So when we put something out, you should listen to it, because we don't put out garbage.
That's right. So thank you for joining us. We will talk to you next time.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.